covering the College World Series.
I don't want it to be the way they want it. This town, this rap, this crowd, come on, put them up, let me hear it loud. This town, this city, this crowd, stand up on your feet when you're wearing down. And every one of you all around, come on, y'all, let's take this town.
You are now watching the College Baseball Insider Show.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome in week 13. Can't believe it. We've got two weekends more of the regular season and conference tournaments, and then on to regionals, the best time of the year. Q, Nick, what's going on, boys?
It's going to be a little depressing here after the next month. I thoroughly enjoy college football. I live and breathe college baseball, so a part of me's going away. It's exciting, but sucks at the same time. I wish it
we
was
don't talk about we don't talk about the season ending. We still have so much baseball. We have squeeze play. Oh, it's going to be so much fun. Nick?
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be fun. We've talked about it. How like the parity this year. I think it surprised all of us. Like, we expected with NIL how it would literally be like maybe five or six teams, especially the way the first half of the season was going. It looked like it was going to be just Texas, Arkansas, Tennessee, maybe Florida State, North Carolina, Clemson. And now it kind of has spread out to maybe 10 to 12. So I think that's really good to see. It's obviously really good for the sport as well when there's no like guarantees on who's going to win the national championship.
Yeah.
Yeah, In years past, I've always said there seems to be a lot of parity in the sport, which I think at the end of the day, you have that conference to conference, but the cream rises to the top.
Yeah.
I still think it's like four or five teams that have a legitimate shot. Can a couple pull a shocker and make Omaha possibly? But like, are we putting, let's say, LSU? Is Oregon going to beat LSU? I just don't know. I'm not buying it yet. It would be a fun ticket. And how about the Auburn Tigers? Can we talk about the Tigers real quick? Butch Thompson's done a phenomenal job just with their season as a whole. And then to try not to get ahead of ourselves, which kind of sounds counterproductive because I bet them really based on last night's performance, which shouldn't have been a shocker to anybody that they beat South Carolina, but I think it was the way that they beat them. This Auburn team has really
motivation.
Yeah, and their pitching staff has been good. Their weighted runs created hasn't been as high as I'd like to see for them to be a contender, but they look like they're having fun and hitting very well right now. So if they continue that trajectory mixed with that pitching staff, these bats, they could be another deadly SEC team come regional, super regional time. So I bet them to make Omaha plus 400 and 40 to 1 to win it all.
Added 2025. I think that's so you said that just to put a bow on it from our perspective. So Auburn, right? Like you just said, the way it is run created isn't probably where they'd like it to be, where we'd like it to be. But as you get to this portion of the season, right? Like you got to have that it factor or that like clutchness. And I feel like whatever their WRC plus is, like they have the ability to get the hits when they need them. So while it may not be high, they've shown the ability to be clutch in big time moments. You know, whether it's a solo home run or, you know, a 3-2 count and a guy, you know, drives in two runs, like that to me is the eye test of the game. And if you watch it, then you pick up on things like that, like we do. And you're kind of like, hey, look, you know, maybe Florida, for example, or A&M, like, hey, the numbers probably don't back this team as much as maybe people thought. And Matt, this goes to the 2022 Ole Miss call by you. But like you look at that team and you're like, man, this team's legit. Like their numbers don't actually – give the full story. And I think we're seeing that with the Auburn Tigers right now. They could absolutely be a threat.
Yeah. And I think you got to think of like, look at Ike Irish has to be the most underrated hitter in the country that he never gets talked about. Like you think of SEC, you think like right now, probably like you think of Rylan Galvin, Bear Jones, Wahiwa Aloy, Gavin Keelan, but nobody ever mentions Ike Irish. And then he'll just come into a series and just quietly go like 6 for 14 yeah. with like a home run and like 8 RBIs and then just like go back home. It's so like, I think it's just because he's quiet. He doesn't really do much. He's not flashy like whatsoever. And I think it's just the power numbers this year, I think, are down. And that could be because he was injured towards like the first half. Not sure if that's still like affecting him a little bit. But yeah, it's like when you have that guy hitting second for you and he's been clutch for 3 years now, I think that's a big, big guy. And when you have a leader like that, it means a lot for especially a team that's starting like 5 freshmen or 4 freshmen.
So right now they're 93rd in weighted runs created at 124. Remember, no team under 125 has won it in the last 8 years. Pitching staff needs to be top 20. They are currently, let's see.
I mean, I guess it depends on what number.
They are 12th right now. So they fit that. Yeah. But let's look at the last seven. Look at their WOBA, because that's what I'm curious about. That's how weighted runs are created or as figured. Little live handicapping. As Crutch says, Auburn, baby, come on. What's up, boys? Hope all is well.
What's up, Crutch?
And Matthew Akers getting ahead of our regular timeline here. Hey, guys, like ECU getting plus money against UTSA. Yes, we do have thoughts. Q, take it away.
Ethan Norby is going to be on some SEC roster next year. I think he's him, Connor Gillespie, like they're, you know, what we call like transfer portal lottery picks. Those guys will be somewhere. He is Zach Root of last year for this year's team. ECU got Riley Johnson back last weekend. Like, he's just the emotional support and the emotional spark of that team. I mean, the guy hits a double and you thought, like, he just hit a, you know, game-winning home run. And that's what ECU thrives off of, right? Especially playing, you know, at home against a UTSA team who's slated to make a good run in their tournament, probably win the tournament and make the playoffs. ECU really needs a series. And when you have your guys coming back and you have the clutches of Ethan Norby, you know, I think 130, the wrong team is favored here. I think our site had him at like minus 127 East Carolina, minus 122. And I think you take the +1.5, but you also sprinkle some on the money line because the one and a half is only minus 115. And usually that number is juiced to minus like 150, 160. So I think you're getting two great plays to dive into.
Yeah, with the pitchers added, assuming it's Zach Roy's, you've got minus 127 on ECU, so some value there definitely at plus money, Matthew. I appreciate the comment. Ethan Norby, I think his last three starts, 0.64 ERA.
I think he's pitched into the seventh, all three as well.
Yeah, that's very impressive. More innings in less games than Zach Royce. Hey, UTSA has been a good team all season long. Don't get me wrong. There's a reason why the books are high on them. 159 in weighted runs created. That's 39% better than East Carolina. But you're at home at Greenville. You've got Ethan Norby again on the mound. I like ECU here. But getting into our top matchups, top of the list here, Vanderbilt at Tennessee. Very tough stretch here for Tennessee. And it's not getting any easier, Vandy, and then you close it out with Arkansas. Is this the weekend, though, Nick, that Tennessee can get off this slide and win an SEC series? What are they, 0-4 in their last four series?
Yeah, 0-4, two of them being at home, two, which it hurts because Tennessee hasn't lost at home like this since 2019 when Tony started. So, yeah, it's a rough stretch, but this is one Tennessee has to get. Luckily, it is Vandy coming into town, and Tennessee has absolutely owned Vanderbilt in the last 3 or 4 years. Tim Corbin can't stand Tony Vitello, which I love. It just makes all Vols fans crack up because he's usually heated in the dugout over something. Like, we all remember the Jordan Beck, how Mike Honcho got created in 22 about the fake bat. And he's like, I don't even know if he should be on campus. They've just kind of dominated him. Even back to the lighter days, Tennessee swept them with Leiter and Kumar Rocker when they had them at home in 21. So yeah, Tennessee's kind of owned this one, and they need it bad. Vandy's kind of in that spot, like just like Tennessee. I think D1 Baseball had Vandy as the 8 seed and Tennessee as the 9 seed. So this will go a long way to making sure you host a super. Yeah, and I love the pitching matchup here. Like Liam Doyle, he's been the best pitcher in the country all year, like stat-wise and probably visually as well. And I think, and like obviously JD Thompson is no slouch. Like he's probably one of those great SEC pitchers too, probably top eight in the conference. He's just not as good on the road. Either. I think he has his ERA is 2.0. I saw it was like 2.23. His ERA was higher on the road than it is at home. Kind of says a lot. So yeah, I'll definitely take the Vols here tonight. I don't know, especially now that it's kind of ballooned out. I think it's like 215, 220.
It is.
Yeah. So I think it's ballooned out.
I like the 1.5, to be honest.
Yeah. I don't know. So me personally, just because being a Vols, I am probably not touching Tennessee the rest of the year because it gives me too much. Yeah. Just too much into it than I already have, especially now that they've been losing. Like I need them just to win and not like be mad because I bet -1.5 and they only win by one. And then I'm like, damn. So yeah, this is a stay away from me. Although I do think Tennessee wins. I think you'll talk about it as like a parlay piece.
Yeah. I think this game reminds me of game one against Florida. You had Liam Peterson going against Liam Doyle, both pitched excellent. Both of them come out, and you started seeing some hits come across on both sides. I think it ended up being 6-4, I think, was the final.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
I think you see that game. I think the 1.5 kind of sneaks in there. I don't like the 10.5 because I can see a 7-5 game, right?
Down to 9.5 now.
I don't like that at all because the Vols offense was stagnant for, you know, the last two weekends, and then they – like you mentioned on Jeff's show, they kind of woke up against Indiana State. And then you bring in, you know, your hated rival here on the road, like Vitello purposely gets thrown out of like last weekend's game. Like, you know, like things are heightened, not only on a rivalry level, but like the season, right? Like I think you subscribe right now to the 11.7 hot, cold, hot method. They were so hot. Now they're kind of cold. And now this is where you ramp back up and you just really catch fire. And you have that motivation of Tim Corbin coming into your home place. Like, let's you know, whip some ass here and get the season back on the right track. I think this is where it is. I think the -1.5, I think it's -125, is actually a probably pretty sharp play here.
All right. Yeah, a pitching matchup, a lot of dueling lefties here in the SEC. I tweeted out about it. Next up, we've got Duke and Clemson, and this was one where the line came out, and I was just scratching my head here because I feel like the website has been pretty accurate, especially in line with just Vegas odds, and we have Clemson -198. I think you can get a -115. It's an even split both ways, but Clemson here on paper, better in every category except weighted runs created, which they've kind of struggled here lately. Looks like 174th in WOBA over their last seven. Are they going to be able to give Aiden Kanak some run support? And also, is Kanak going to be better? Because he's at a 689 ERA over his last three starts. That's not going to cut it if Clemson Tigers are going to make a playoff push.
This is the battle of which team shows up. Do you get the early on Clemson or do you get the most recent? And you can also say the same thing about Duke. Both teams are good. Clemson's probably a little better. I'm a little down on Clemson in comparison to you two. I think they're a good team. I don't know if they have the horses to get to Omaha personally. I think this run kind of showed us what they had last year. And I think you're going to run into the same problem, but then they're also playing Duke, who we have our own concerns, and they bit us, you know, so many times earlier in the season. They just were completely unbettable for the last 1.5 months for me. I do think this series being at home is a difference maker. I think Clemson is able to right the ship. I don't think they're going to dominate Duke by any means, but I think tonight, absolutely, the -115 to be able to get them at home with Aiden Kanak, that short of a number, I think is all, you know, that's the play all day long.
Like Crutch says, not overthinking this one. Clemson all day. I think Nick and I both played it last night on the opener as well. Nick, what are your thoughts on this series as a whole?
Yeah, Q mentioned it a lot. I think I got it back Aiden Connect. I think over the last three games, that's a little bit inflated from 2 weeks ago because he threw extremely well against Florida State at Florida State last week. I think he went like 6 1/3, like two runs, I believe. So he's been fine outside of one or two this year. Now, like granted, he hasn't been as good as his freshman year, but that was also like such an outlier, like for freshmen. That's kind of tough. And you still look at his season stats, like you would pretty much take that from any pitcher for the most part. And I think he's better than his stats too. And you mentioned like the offense, and I think the offense says that wise, it's not compared to Duke, but I think you and I or both of you would probably agree that if you lined up Clemson's offense with Duke's offense right now, you'd probably take Clemson's. And then, yeah, home ballpark matters. I think they're going to write the shit. Like it was like last week seemed like whatever could go wrong, like kind of went wrong. And it's just like, and I mean, I'm just going to put that Sunday game out. Cause that was what, like 10-0. Then it was like 10-9. Then it was like 16-9. And then it was 16-11. So like, that was just like such a weird game. But yeah, I think I trust Clemson here. Even coming off that Tuesday loss to Coastal, that was one that Coastal needed much worse than Clemson did. I think that's why I talked about playing him. I chickened out for some reason, but played the over. But yeah, I trust Clemson here, and I do think they win this series against Duke.
All right, next up, we've got another ACC matchup going on right now. Started Thursday, actually, not Friday, so that's wrong. North Carolina takes game one. I think it was 8-1. NC yes. State, they – I feel like they do this. They have a really good weekend, and they followed up by a really crappy weekend, and that's just kind of life in the Power Four conferences. But you buying NC State right now, or do you think North Carolina takes this series and could possibly sweep, Q?
Yeah, I think North Carolina could sweep here. They're just far more dominant on the mound. Outside of Dom Fritton, you know, NC State's scrappy, but I think this is just a matchup that they're overpowered in too many angles. So I think being at home again in a rivalry, this is a big spot for North Carolina to really kind of get their postseason, you know, thoughts in line and really start to get into that extra gear. And to be able to do it against a ranked opponent certainly helps get some ACC wins heading into the tournament. This is a spot where I think North Carolina is pretty dominant all weekend.
Is it?
Yeah.
I'm with Dom Fritton versus Aiden Hawk. Is that right?
Yep.
So minus 178 on North Carolina. It's probably minus, what, 200 right now?
Yeah, books open at 200.
Yeah, figured.
Yeah, I'm all over Carolina. But unlike these two, like, I think North Carolina is the best team in the ACC. I mean, they're in first place right now. I don't know if there's a better 1-2-3 pitching staff in the country, to be honest. When you look at Jake Knapp, who's probably going to win ACC Pitcher of the Year, then Aiden Hawk going on Saturdays, and you have Jason DeCaro, who's been their Friday guy last year and this year to start the season, who's been a lot better his last two starts. So, I love this North Carolina team. I also think the offense is getting hot at the right time. We all know Luke Stevenson, and he's been on a tear all season. But now kind of everybody around him is also performing. I love this North Carolina team. I think they are a national championship contender. And I know, like, we did – because it actually made me look at it, because we did, like, the three of us did a little kind of whatever you want to call it, like little sheet this week about like kind of tiering teams out. I had them as national championship contenders, and I think both of you had Omaha but not national championship, so I think I'm a little bit higher, mostly because of pitching staff, like you said. And yeah, I think Carolina can get this sweep here because NC State, I don't know. If NC State gets one, it needs to be today with Fritton on the mound.
It doesn't look like it's going to happen if the projections on the side are correct. North Carolina, they took last week off. I gave them a little grief for that. I get they do it for finals. But
every ACC team does.
I'll take finals on the weekend. And I feel like you could have played. They stay at number four in the country, which, I mean, are they the fourth best team in the country, Nick? I know you're higher on them.
I do you honestly really do. They're number four. I could put them anywhere between like 2 to 5 and be fine with it.
Well, they may stay there. Once again, then, care of NC State. All right, Louisville and Georgia Tech. This line was so weird, which only explained that Patrick Forbes was not going to go today. Looks like it's going to be Tate McKee versus Ethan Eberle. And as we pull up the projections, it's pretty much right in line with the number now, -243 in favor of Georgia Tech. Tech's kind of fallen off here lately. I know there for a while they really looked like they were going to contend for the ACC and be an Omaha team. But Yellow Jackets, you buying them right now, Nick?
No, I wasn't buying them back, though, when you kind of were high on them. But it was like a lot of it was kind of based on like it was like number based because they were at one point, I think, top 10 in both WRC Plus and Sierra, which is pretty uncommon, especially for this Georgia Tech team who has never been able to pitch. So that kind of wasn't going to last. And I think that kind of hasn't. Tate McKee's been okay. He's definitely by far been their best starter. So this is a complete, yeah, stay away from me because also this Louisville offense is so hit or miss. Reason I loved them against Vandy on Tuesday is because that offense, it showed up and got that win there. I wish this was Patrick Forbes at +160, but it's not. So yeah, this is a complete stay away from me. And I honestly don't, I wouldn't be surprised if either team wins this series 2-1.
Q?
I think Georgia Tech gets back on track here. I just don't trust this Louisville team. The moment you try to trust them, they let you down. They give up a million runs late in the game. Georgia Tech's offense is just too powerful here. You're not going to stop them, especially at their home park. Louisville, like Nick said earlier in the midweek show, they just – the offense has been, you know, the tale of where they're playing, whether it's at home or on the road. And unfortunately, this series is on the road, which doesn't, you know, benefit them. So I think Tech – gets a much needed, you know, I don't want to say big time, but a quality series win against number 20 Louisville here. And I think Georgia Tech's a great parlay piece.
Yeah. Another Achilles heel to Louisville is that bullpen, a 219th ranked XFIP for the bullpen.
And it shows the eye test to the numbers.
Cut it.
I'm surprised it's only 219.
If we see a lot of arms used early in the series, the over can't be priced high enough by Sunday. I completely agree.
It'll be 16 or yeah.
I've seen where Georgia Tech has been slated to be in the Georgia regional, which no real shocker there, but Georgia's got a tough road test here against Alabama Crimson Tide. Right now we've got Tyler Fay taking on Brian Curley, making Georgia that -130 dead even with what Las Vegas has. We're both on Georgia, Nick, I believe, and Q. What are your thoughts on this one?
My thoughts are
going on the road.
Flip a coin because what Georgia team's going to show up, what Alabama team's going to show up. Alabama was so dominant in the year, and then they really fell off. Now they went through a brutal stretch of schedule there, but Georgia, same thing. Like Brian Curley's pitched pretty decent, and then their bats have gone to sleep on them at times. But we know they're one of the most powerful offenses in the country. Same for Bama. Like Tyler Fay stepped in and done really well, hasn't gotten run support maybe that he probably deserves. But we know their bats can turn it on with Hodo and Justin LeBron and some other guys, right? So, like, this is kind of Jekyll and Hyde matchup for me because both teams show elite, you know, opportunities and the abilities, but then they can also show, like, a no-show. Man, I still haven't even decided on the SEC pick on which way to go. It's a stay away from a betting perspective for me. It's a series that I actually will watch because I want to see what teams kind of start showing back up for the postseason and seeing who we have. But for right now, it's a stay away.
So I ran the projections for all three games. Georgia's TBA on Saturday, but Georgia is projected to win 57% of the time in game one, 70% game two for Alabama with Riley Quick, and then 58% with Zane Adams. So Alabama 2-1 says the site.
I would imagine Leighton Finley versus Zane Adams Sunday.
Yep.
How they've been.
Yeah.
Oh, Liam just said, is Zabrowski back?
No, he's not. At least that's what I heard Wednesday, that he won't be back.
There's no reason, Nick, to rock. You're in the tournament.
Any closing thoughts on Georgia Bama?
Kind of what settled it for me is I mentioned this on Jeff's show. Brian Curley's ERA is actually better on the road than it is at home, which is very unusual. I think if this was, and Tyler Fay, he was been good, but He's been good, like ever since he got put in the starting role. I believe they played, I can't remember who they played 2 weeks ago, but then Vandy last week. So there's a couple offenses he's faced that haven't been great. This is his first like actual real test. Yeah, but I,
he was pretty. Yeah, he dominated them.
Yeah, that's right. But I do actually like, and that's what I would go back on. Quick, Quick is the one to back on this Alabama pitching staff. You mentioned Zane Adams Sunday. I don't know Zane Adams. There's a reason he got pulled from the Friday spot. He's been struggling, kind of rebounded a bit last week, but then got kind of tailed in like a fifth inning. Like Vandy just kind of got all over him. But I do like Georgia here game one with like behind Brian Curley. And then I would probably be on Quick, especially because we'll see if we get plus money. The books were actually smart enough last week not to give Bama plus money with Riley Quick against Vandy. So that was surprising. So I stayed off of it. So hopefully Georgia wins this first one and we can get Bama maybe plus 115, 120 tomorrow and back in that way.
Yeah, I feel like in the SEC, you're pretty smart to whoever wins game one, fade them in game two, because I feel like we're getting a bunch of rubber matches on Sundays.
Especially if the home team loses game one, yeah.
Yeah. West Virginia, Kansas State, two Big 12 teams having pretty decent seasons. West Virginia, kind of the shocker here at 39-7, number 12 in the country, trying to get into that hosting picture for the Supers. 3.12 ERA over the last three for Griffin Kern, 3.77 for Jacob Frost. These two pitchers are neck and neck, and the odds would say that too. Minus 102 for Kansas State. Y'all have anything in this one?
I do. This is a play of mine. I think this is an upset series. I think Kansas State gets it. I like Jacob Frost has pitched decent from what I've watched him. I watched him in person earlier in the season. I think the numbers don't show that probably where they should be. And then they have Michael Cavada, who's come on strong after the first month of the season, pitching tomorrow. West Virginia has been so dominant. They really haven't slipped up all season long. I think this is where they slip up. Kansas State is trying to fight for a playoff berth. Obviously, they want to have a really deep run in the Big 12 tournament. I think this is kind of where it comes together for them, right? This is a huge, meaningful series at home. Our site likes them slightly. I got them at plus 100. They're still kind of hovering that number. I think Kansas State gets this win tonight, a big needed and much needed win here.
I think I stayed away. So I found West Virginia surprisingly has the number one offense against left-handed pitchers in the country. And then Kansas State starts three lefties on the weekend. So that's why I think that's where kind of that matchup kind of comes into play. But yeah, this today, I think today's a toss up for sure. Like Griffin Curran's been good. Jacob Frost has been good. But I think I would lean West Virginia in the series, even at Kansas State where they're tough. But yeah, I think the number is probably about right. Like I can't blame somebody. It's one of those where I can't blame somebody if they take West Virginia minus 130. Can't blame somebody if they take Kansas State plus 100.
Yeah, Liam, right on point. 11.7. Talked about K-State has three lefty starters. West Virginia has mashed lefties. But with 177th strength of schedule, how many quality lefties has that been would be my biggest question. It's definitely going to be a test for the Mountaineers. I feel like Kansas State is a step up in competition for what they've faced.
And they definitely need more, like you said, for sure.
All right, moving on to the Arkansas Razorbacks taking on LSU in what's probably the top series on the board this weekend. I've gone back and forth. You guys know I bet on the Razorbacks at times. I've faded the Razorbacks at times. Bet Saracen here in Arkansas. They hung Arkansas as the favorite when they opened this yesterday, turned around, and now it has dropped the DraftKings number. Site makes Arkansas plus 154. I got LSU plus 1.5 on the run line and plus 105. Now I think it's Arkansas that's plus 105 here. Still trying to decide on what play I'm going to give out for the Dub Club. But just know, full transparency, I'm riding both sides of this thing. They also hung 12.5 for the total. I bet that under. I really don't know what they're doing over there, but I take advantage of it every opportunity I can. Q, what are your thoughts on this one? I can't wait for the SEC pick them because I think we're going to be opposite on several of them this weekend.
I wish that I got the 12.5 because I think that hits all day long. I saw 11. I haven't pulled the trigger on it. I may.
Now 10.5. Yeah.
I'll probably stay off of it. I really don't know where this could go. Like, I think both teams need it. This is, I think LSU probably needs a little more.
You think?
Yeah. Like, I don't, man, there's to lose at home in the box, like this close to the playoff. Like, I think this is a spot where they kind of need it. You don't want to lose a big time series. And, it's a stay away for me. I just, both teams could win and you look at it and you're like, hey, what's going on? I don't know what's going on with my lights here. but yeah, this is a stay away for me. I'll be so, right back. I gotta figure this out.
Kendall Rogers was on a Bombastic podcast with Andrew Ellis. And he said, like, obviously with the rankings, LSU is number three. They drop a series at College Station, only go from number two to number three. Arkansas, big series sweep over Texas. They move into the top eight, which at number seven. Yet when they did their field of 64 projections, they had Arkansas as a two seed, indicating that, and Kendall said this on the show, he feels like even if Arkansas were to lose these next two series, as long as they don't get swept, they're probably still in the top eight national seed picture. But what does that say for LSU only dropping from two to three? Like, obviously, they still think pretty highly of LSU as well. Two very comparable teams, in my opinion. This is going to be whichever starting pitcher gives you the longer outing. I feel like that's the team that's going to win. Now, both teams have solid bullpens behind them. Zach Root has been worse on the road. But, again, what performance do we get? Can he come out and shove like he did last weekend against Texas, or – does he get blown up in the third or fourth inning and have to get pulled? That's my biggest question mark on it. As Q deals with the demons that are messing with his lights.
Yeah, it's the demon in the shape of a four-year-old.
Oh, okay. I'll let Nick take over with this one. Arkansas or LSU?
Yeah, I don't think – for seeding, I don't think this matters a whole lot. I think both teams are settled in as top eight national seeds, unless, like, something drastic happens where, like, either one of the teams go, like, 0-6 in the next 2 weeks. But I do think momentum-wise it's important, and I think where Q is going – so LSU, if you're LSU, you don't want to lose a series at home this close kind of to, like, regionals and everything. But, yeah, I think LSU wins tonight, and then I don't know what happens the next 2 days. These two teams are so comparable to me. I would probably take LSU's pitching staff, but then take Arkansas's offense, which is so flip-flop from how it's been for the last, like, 5 years between these two teams. But, yeah, and it's also, like, Alex Box makes a difference. Tennessee found that out 2 weeks ago. And now LSU, like, the whole thing of when they got dropped a lot was because they got swept by Auburn. That Auburn loss is looking better and better by the weekend. So yeah, I think these two teams are very, very equal, but if I was going to pull the trigger, I wanted to get it at, like, I almost played the LSU -125 today, but just didn't. But I do think LSU probably wins game one, but this is a stay away from me.
Q?
Stay away from me.
So I would have, trust me, I would have loved LSU at +105. Sorry. With that, some of us didn't have that available.
If I play anything, in which I think the line is trending against me, is the under.
Now, if it gets to single digits, there's a chance the over is in play because I could see either of these offenses getting to like 6 or 7.
Yeah, I agree. I think you're like somewhere in a 10 to 11 total run range. So if it drops to 9.5, I think the over becomes a play.
Where are we at on this line for Michigan State, Southern Cal? Because, you know, I've got to talk about my boy Joseph DeJerwa and Southern Cal. Caden Hunter going today.
I didn't see a line for it.
Yeah, I don't think we got one.
That's lame, but the site likes USC here -266, which is shocking that it's that big of a discrepancy.
I got nothing for this series. I'll be honest, I didn't even look at it. Caden Hunter, I mean, he's had some times where he's looked good, but then he's also got hit around. Joe DeZerwa had, like, two really bad starts. Then he follows it up with an incredible start that we posted about. I think he finds his rhythm against a SC offense that isn't the most dominant in the conference. Michigan State's not that great, though. If I had to put a dog in the fight, I would play Southern Cal as a parlay piece, but it's probably stay away from me. I like betting on Caden Aoki more than Caden Hunter.
I hope we get a line in this because I think Michigan State's going to be a live dog here. I hope we get plus 200 or higher. Nick?
Yeah, I think if we were getting a line, it probably would have had it already. Because it seems like DraftKings, they've got about 40 out, so they're probably done just because we know how they are. I would like USC here, actually. Not at that number. Like, if it ends up around, like, 250, or like, it's not a parlay piece, I don't think, against Joseph DeZira. But, yeah, Caden Hunter's been very up and down lately. But I think this USC team is playing for more than Michigan State is at this point. Michigan State season's basically over outside of the Big Ten tournament. So that's what they're looking forward to. USC is in at-large spot. I think they're one of the four Big Ten teams that get in. So I think they've got a little bit more to play for seeding wise. And I think the offenses are way different. I think USC's offense is way better than Michigan State's, especially when they're at home. I would lean USC here.
All right. What was the other game that you wanted to touch on, Nick? I'm trying to go back.
The Florida game.
Florida, Texas.
Yep.
Not just because Q's sitting here. I don't know.
Yeah, I think
Texas is they showed their flaws, I guess, last weekend.
Yeah, it's
called Florida. Florida's analytics are so good. I mean, they're 24th in weighted runs created, they're 7th in Sierra, 6th in XFIP. Can they take what's on paper though and show up and win?
I'll say this. They're a better road team than Texas, I think. I think Florida has shown the ability from last season to be able to play on the road and not necessarily get rattled. Now, obviously, Founders, there was some bad weather. Like, the fans weren't there. But nonetheless, like, it's still kind of a, you know, South Carolina still has some talent. But Florida's, you know, shown the ability to play on the road. Texas, we're not quite sure because they had every freaking series at home that was meaningful. So that's kind of tough to gauge. But I don't like Liam Peterson starting on Saturday in terms of where it sets the bullpen up. They kind of set their bullpen up to be a Friday-Sunday operation. Saturday, if they get a lead, it's kind of by committee, knowing that Clemente is going to throw 2 to 3 innings Friday, come back Sunday and do the same bit. Now, because of last week's rain delay, Liam Peterson's not going until Saturday. Pierce Coppola is coming back, but he's so limited, he's probably going to throw 30 to 40 pitches max. So now you're going to tax your bullpen on a Friday night when you kind of really only have Jay Clemente. I talked about on the show. Guys have to step up, like Luke McNeely, who's got experience and has stuff. He's just not consistent. Alex Philpott, same thing. Can be so nasty at times, but then give up, you know, 3 runs. And you're like, holy crap, there was 2 outs, nobody on, and you just gave up a 4 spot. I really wanted to bet Texas at the minus 150 line because I thought that was actually a decent value for them. But now it's almost, I think it's
175. Yeah.
It's a little high for me. I hate betting on the Gators, so it'll just be a stay away for me. But I do ultimately think Texas wins.
Yeah, Texas was a parlay piece for me that I put in our dub club. I really do. I think they get tonight. I think Florida's better chances, like Q said. I think they're behind. They're behind their, like, Peterson. So I would say Florida's chances, like I said, Saturday, Sunday, but I really do think Texas, and I think Texas will respond a little bit better. I think that probably what, like, they went into that Arkansas series, and it could have been so, like, you look at, like, how you handicap, and, like, for people who, like, don't use numbers, like, think of a perfect spot for the Arkansas to sweep Texas. You have Texas riding high from literally sweeping A&M. They had won, like, what they had won every single series the entire year, being talked about. Everybody's like, oh my God, Texas is so good, the team to beat. Meanwhile, Arkansas is coming off 3 out of 4 series in a row, and then you have to go to the hog pen. That was one of those where, if, like, for me, I can kind of just, like, I'm just going to wipe it clean for Texas and just say, like, that was literally the worst thing, like, the worst thing that could have happened. Like, it was just one of those situations. So I do like Texas today, and then we'll see what the lines look like the next 2 days.
I'll say this. Florida Sunday has a major advantage with Aiden King, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Here's the thing, though, is we've seen teams like Texas over the last several years of their stats on paper don't stack up to the level of success they're achieving, and they're going to come back down to earth. Now, I didn't think Arkansas was going to sweep them, but I did think they were going to win the series. It, like Nick said, it was just the perfect storm of Texas team riding high, Arkansas kind of reeling. But I think Florida could show up and win this series. And I'm surprised Q doesn't think that as a Gators fan and knowing
he's priest preaching
of the Gators roster.
I mean, so I'll say this.
Would you be shocked if Florida won 2-1?
No, because we saw him go on that run last year, right? Like Ashton Wilson starting to hit the ball again, right on cue. Like,
had to happen sometime.
Luke Heyman is on it. He's probably one of the best hitters in the SEC over the last 4 weeks. He's tied for first in home runs in the SEC, I think, with Vahiwa Aloy at 10. You look at the – and then, like, Ty Evans hasn't seen the game in a month.
Got his first one.
He gets his first one, then he hits a grand slam, like, late. I mean, the guy's starting to come on a tear. Like, Florida has – and we talked about it, right? The offense, in my opinion, you don't have your Jack Cags, but they have a deeper lineup. They're starting to get guys like Aiden Yost batting. He's gotten up to, like, 280, which is good. You know, Justin Adu has stepped up in Cade Curlin's absence. Bobby Bozer has been Bobby Baseball's all season long. Like, even without Shelton, guys have stepped up. So, to say, would I be surprised? No, I wouldn't, because of what we saw last year where, like, they just had the next guy step up, and that just was incredible. I will say this. If Friday night gets into a high-scoring game, that means that Florida has hit Ruger Rojas and they have hit Dylan Volantis. And I think that that bodes well for Florida because I think it gives them confidence. They have the ability to hit in that bigger ballpark because they play in Conjuring, which is a deeper ballpark. So they're not necessarily, you know, a team to where like, oh, it's a big stadium. They can't really get the ball out because they can. They absolutely have the bats to do it. The name that somehow would probably shock me, but it wouldn't in the same breath as like, this could be a weekend, Brody Doné. You're like, oh, he's going 0-for-11 against good pitching, and he just goes on a tear, right? Because that's just how Florida baseball's been. So they have the pieces to do it. The thing that scares me is the bullpen depth. Now, if Philpott or McNeely or Christian Rodriguez, highly touted redshirt freshman, steps up, then this Florida team can be really dangerous. But I don't want to get ahead of myself. I kind of had a strategy last year where I faded Florida all season long towards the end. I'm going to continue the same thing. If we can't make some magic happen.
You don't.
Matt play. Loves.
I just think, yeah. I think this Texas team is not that good. And when I say not that good, I don't think they're a top three team. I think they're top 10. Think
they've been higher than anybody thought they would all season.
Yeah.
Yes.
Not only us, everybody thought they were going to be good. They're like, but they were playing at an elite level, and D1 didn't think so. 11.7, us, like, they definitely exceeded everybody's expectations. I think that's fair to say.
They have. I think they're going to come back down to earth.
From a non-numbers, like, baseball standpoint, though, like, you look at – it doesn't matter if it's college baseball, college football, MLB, NFL. The ability to win close games matters. And that's just one of those things you get, like, part of the DNA and part of – just like building a program. And that's like what Schloss somehow did it at A&M last year. And now he's doing it at Texas way above, like, ahead of schedule this year. So it's like, even though the stats, like, don't look like number wise that we all stare at aren't incredible across the board, it's like every time they're in a 1-1 run game, somebody comes up with a big hit. Volantis comes up with a huge pitch. Yeah. It just, like, that part at the end of the day, like, ends up mattering at, like, just from a baseball standpoint and, like, non-number standpoint. And that's where it seems like this team is.
Y'all going to force me to bet Florida out of principle. I just wish the number was a little higher. I do have a number on Michigan State, Ohio State, or Michigan State, USC. State is plus 180, USC minus 240. Don't love it. What was the other – I think you sent me one more game you wanted to talk about.
Do you want to Cincy TCU? Yeah.
Northwestern fans are big K-State fans this weekend. Northeastern, he said. All these little bid stealers.
No, because he's talking about, like, that's what Northeastern's, like, right now, that's their biggest RPI win is those two midweek games against Kansas State. They need Kansas State to make – because right now I think Northeastern has two wins over tourney teams. And so, like, if K-State gets in the tourney, it makes it, like, four. So that's where they kind of need Northeastern if they want an at-large bid. They need – yeah, all that. Got it.
Who did you say? What matchup?
Oh, Cincy TCU.
Oh, yeah. This was one.
TCU's played so good all season long with Tommy Lepore and Caden Parker. I know Cincy went on that tear against Kansas, but then we've seen Kansas lose last night to BYU. They kind of jumped out to an early lead in the midweek and then almost choked it at the end there. Is this where Kansas kind of falls back down to earth and maybe Cincy's good, but maybe not as good as their numbers projected from last weekend against a TCU team that, in my opinion, has kind of flown under the radar as a team to watch out for?
What's the line in this now?
Still 200.
Yeah.
Total 11 and a half.
Yeah. Yeah.
11. Look at these two pitchers. Nathan Taylor has been just as good as Tommy Lepore. 113 ERA, 174 ERA over their last three. This could be a low scoring game, y'all. Neither team really mashes the ball. 124, 135, and weighted runs created.
That ballpark, too, is not legal to run.
Yeah.
I took Cincy plus 200. For a half unit. I think with Nathan Taylor, and plus you've got Carrington Cross, who is probably Big 12 player of the year. I mean, he's doing everything for the Bearcats right now. I don't know. I think TCU is one of those weird teams that they do this every year. They look really good, then they look really bad at times, and then they look really good. Which TCU team do you have show up? Can Cincy steal game one? I think if it's a low scoring one, they absolutely can.
Yeah, this is one where, yeah, a lot, like, Nathan Taylor has not been talked about a lot, and it's probably just because Cincinnati baseball in general doesn't get talked about a lot. But you look at some of their series wins this year, Kansas, I believe Arizona State, Duke is looking better, even though Duke, that was towards the beginning of the year when Duke was just god awful for some reason. And then, I mean, Oklahoma State is another one, like, that was only 2 weeks ago where they beat Harrison Bodendorf on a Friday. So it's like this team is sneakily good and is on the – this is another one that's on the bubble for the, like, tournament. Like, right now they're 38th in the RPI, 7-3 in their last 10. They have 12 wins against Q1 and Q2. So this is a team that if they can't get swept. Like, since he can't, like, go downhill from here. Otherwise, they will risk kind of missing it. I know Matt's like around there. I was very, very close to this kind of plus 200 number as well. And how I might approach it is it's now plus 2.5 minus 120. So that might be, I might end up playing it that way for Cincy.
Yeah, I like that. I'm going to rush to the Tennessee line and bet that on DraftKings. Sarah only has plus 1.5.
DraftKings is 130, but it's still 2.5.
Where was the other one?
MGM.
Q, you have any other matchups you want to talk about before we get into the SEC pick'em?
Nothing.
All right, let's do it. Oh, South Carolina, Auburn. I think we all said Auburn 3-0.
We all said sweep, yeah.
I thought South Carolina could get one, but no.
We got Matt Akers. That's a series we could run real quick, I guess.
Yeah, any thoughts on Miami at Virginia? This is one that –
I think you guys both have plays on it too, right?
I don't.
Oh, I thought from this morning, I thought like – I didn't know you guys actually played or not. I remember Matt saying – I just remember this morning and Matt said he'd be on Miami, and then Q was like, well, I would be on Virginia, but I didn't know if either one of you actually played it or not.
What's the line? Me being in Virginia, the only time I can play it is when I'm in DC at work. So I don't have the line. I don't even know what the line is.
105 Miami, 125 Virginia.
So weather in Charlotte. So I'll be at tomorrow's game. I was going to go tonight. Just wasn't worth that hour and a half drive. Go sit in kind of chilly weather. I think that bodes well for Virginia. Miami's pitching two freshmen, one tomorrow, one tonight. both teams, Virginia's bats have kind of come alive, and they really dominated their midweek, which is good for them coming into the series. I give the edge to Virginia. Brian O'Connor is a guy that, you know, understands how to coach bad teams per se. I mean, in 2015, they were a 3 seed in the tournament and they won it all. The year before, they were dominant and they lose to Dansby Swanson's Vandy team as a highly, I think they were both 1 seeds. So he understands how to do that, right? J.D. Arriaga, it's his first year. He's definitely found some freshman pieces, which, you know, kudos to him, the guy I was calling for his job.
You were too.
But, he's figured like Siskar and Hugis has pitched really well, and then they have another freshman they throw on Sunday. If I'm looking at two teams that both need wins, I think Virginia being at home is beneficial to them. I think they know how to grind out, victories when needed, and they've done that all season. So I give the edge to Virginia. I think they take the series 2-1.
I don't know, Q. I'm opposite. What did you say the Miami line was?
-105.
No. Wish I could get plus money. What's the run line? Probably at -1.
Oh, 45. God. +1.5, -175.
Shh. Let me see. Dude, Miami's won, what, 5 straight ACC series?
Yeah, and swept 4 of them.
Strength schedule 7-108. I mean, Virginia's been –
So Miami's in the tournament. There's no question about that.
They're almost fighting for a host spot at this point. Yeah.
Virginia is not.
Has been so good.
Virginia's not in the tournament. They're on the bubble, and they know this, right? And this is a tough series for them. But then, so next week against Virginia Tech, they have to win both, and I think they're going to be up for the challenge for it. Because I think matchup wise, the teams are kind of a wash.
Okay, here's what I need you to do. Go to D.C., bet $5,000 on Virginia so that I can get some plus money on my game. There we go.
Send it over. I'll make it happen.
Manipulate the book. All right, SEC Pick'em. Like I said, Auburn 3-0, everybody. The Egg Bowl on the diamond. Ole Miss at Mississippi State. What are y'all doing in this one?
State 2-1.
I agree. I'm also Mississippi State 2-1. I mean, this is another one of my best tonight. Mississippi State, I think Pico Cone wins, especially at home. And I think they find a way to win a second one. I think this is one of those where if it was at Ole Miss, I'd go 2-1 Ole Miss. With it being at Mississippi State, I'm 2-1 Mississippi State.
So what if I told you that Mississippi State is favored in all three games? 57%, 53%, 55%. That 53 is a little shaky. Riley Maddox versus Evan Sierra. I have backed Mississippi State so many times and they've let me down.
I have Mississippi State 2-1.
Right? Yeah. I have Mississippi State 2-1. I really need them to sweep, though. They are both Mississippi State 2-1.
Yeah.
Just because I think Ole Miss is the better team, so I do think they find a way to win one. Just kind of how they did against Oklahoma last week. Like Oklahoma was favored in all three, but I still think Ole Miss found a way. And I would say Mississippi State's outside of Kyson Witherspoon pretty comparable to Oklahoma.
This is going to be the one that I'm going to put a pin in, and this will be the reason that I don't win the Pick'em Challenge. But I'll go Mississippi State 2-1 and be boring, but they're going to sweep. Vanderbilt, Tennessee.
Give me the Vols and a 3-0 sweep.
Ooh.
You did it. Nick said don't.
Well, because I was going to go – I was going to go opposite. This was another one, just like Florida last week. I was going to go opposite of whatever Q said. So now that's going to have me hoping Vandy wins a game.
That's nasty.
I think they can do it, man. I think they set the tone for the postseason here. I really do. I think they're going to play pissed off baseball weekend.
My fear is Sunday. Connor Finnell's been so good for Vandy, and AJ Russell is still on it. They said he's still on a 55-60 pitch limit.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So here's what happens. It depends on how the first two games go. If they have to use Nate Snead like earlier in the weekend, I think that kind of makes a Sunday game much tougher. Dang it, Q. So I need points, though. I'm down freaking 11. I'm still going to hope Tennessee wins all three, but I'll go Vols 2-1 just for the purpose of trying to make up a point.
Yeah, this is the one. I've got Tennessee 3-0 based on the website, but the question mark is game three, 51% for Tennessee. Connor Fennell, been very good.
It took
a late game rally for them to get the win last weekend when he was on. So can they produce enough runs? I think this could be the weekend for Tennessee to kind of do what Arkansas did, get off this schneid and get a big series win, series sweep. I'm going to go Tennessee.
Both of you.
I'm going Tennessee 3-0.
What's Smitty do?
I don't know. Does anybody have his picks pulled up?
Yeah, let me look at it real quick. Because I wonder if he also went 3-0.
By the way, I got an email from Bet Saracen that says we need to update information.
I was going to say we're going to remove the LSU play because we put out a bad number.
Yeah.
What'd you say?
I said I thought the email was going to say we're going to remove that LSU play because we put out a bad number.
No, but now they're putting me through the ringer of want me to upload my driver's license, make sure my address and everything's right. They're looking into my account. I don't like that.
Smitty has Tennessee 2-1, and he had Mississippi State 2-1.
Oklahoma, Kentucky. Don't everybody answer at once. What's Smitty say? Kentucky 2-1?
Yep.
Oklahoma 2-1.
Loyal.
I am. Oh, man. See, this one, this is probably the toughest one to decide on the weekend. Kentucky, if you're looking at a team who's like the most on the bubble right now, it's Kentucky. Like Kentucky would be that 14th SEC team to make it in the tournament.
If you're going to steal a series, it's going to be against an Oklahoma.
So it needs – I can't remember. Who does Kentucky have next week? Because I can't remember who they have. But the fact that Mississippi State has missed or Ole Miss and they have luck, they're lucky enough to get Mizzou next weekend helps Mississippi State. So Kentucky, if they want to be the 14th team, need it.
They're at Vandy next week.
Which I don't think they win that series.
I don't either. But Oklahoma's at Texas or hosting Texas.
Yeah.
I'm going Kentucky 2-1.
I'm going Oklahoma 2-1. I already bet it. I would hate to say guaranteed, but I really do think Oklahoma wins tonight. And then it kind of becomes.
I think Oklahoma wins tonight also, but it's two other games.
There are. I think they end up
tonight has them winning 2-1. Losing tonight, winning tomorrow and Sunday.
I'm going Oklahoma 2-1.
So me and Smitty are Kentucky. Y'all are Oklahoma. Yeah. That'll be a good one. Missouri, Texas A&M. A&M sweep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Poor Mizzou.
Possibly playing the plus 6.5 though. We'll see.
How did it work out last weekend if you would have done that?
I know you talked about it. Georgia beat him by 9, so I would have lost.
Are we surprised?
Yeah, we talked about this last week. Yeah, but it's like the way the books have it set up, though, like DraftKings has it set up, like it actually favors the better so much that like it's almost like you have to play it because the only way you lose is if A&M wins by exactly 7, 8, or 9 runs. If they win by 10 or more, it gets voided, or if Missouri wins by 6 or less, your bet wins. So it's
voided because of the run rule.
Correct. Yeah.
So it'd have to be 10.
It literally has to land 7. Yeah, no, or 8. Like, it literally just has to land at 7, 8, 9. Like, the only way it'd be 10 is if, like, literally they score. It can't be because they wouldn't hit in the bottom of the ninth being at home.
Yeah.
So if they're up 10 in the eighth inning, it would be a run rule.
Yeah.
The win probabilities for each game. Game 1, 91%. Game 2, 93%. Game 3, 90%. Sorry,
which of the three games will they be in? It'll be one of them. They've done that every weekend where it's like one of them, they'll stay in it and then just blow it in like the eighth or ninth.
I don't know, when your guys have an 858, 9, and 633 ERA, I don't really know which one you can confidently say, oh, this is our guy. He's going to get us close.
Yeah.
Not it's good.
No.
Georgia, Alabama. I hope we're opposites on this one as well. Again, 9 points. Got to cover some ground. I'm going Georgia 2-1.
Yeah, that's what I had.
Dang it. That's what I have.
I thought she would go Bama.
Nope.
I got 2%, fellas. Let's skip through these.
Smitty has Bama. I just can't. Yeah, I just don't trust Bama right now.
Yeah.
They were good non-conference, and all of a sudden they get in conference play and just not quite the same. Justin LeBron.
According to the site, it's going to be Bama 2-1. Georgia's favored in game one. That's it.
Yeah, I think Georgia wins game one, Bama wins game two, rubber match Sunday, which will probably be a shootout, which I favor Georgia.
Arkansas, LSU. I'm going to get it out of the way. I'm going Arkansas 2-1.
I'll go LSU 2-1.
Thank you. I'm LSU 2-1. I can't make up any ground.
Who's Smitty?
Smitty is Arkansas 2-1.
Florida, Texas.
Texas 2-1.
Q, flip that. Come on. Let's have something where I can come back. Come
go
on.
Go Texas sweep.
No, take Florida 2-1. Come on, do it. They're your team.
Texas come sweep. On. You got to make a bold statement.
No, you got to make a bold statement and pick your team.
It's doable. Matt, you take Florida 2-1. You got to make up some ground.
I am. Are you?
Yeah, insert the South Park meme of the wheelbarrow with the balls in it.
That's it.
I'm putting them on the table. This may backfire, but how funny is it going to be if I come back and win this pick 'em at the hands of the Florida Gators that Q lost all faith in? I'm going Florida 2-1.
Yeah.
Do it, boys.
QB just became an Unsullied off of Game of Thrones. So the opposite of that wheelbarrow meme, and wouldn't pick Florida. So
I didn't do this last year when we made an Omaha run. I got to keep the same. It's a superstition.
You were also like 28 and 27 last year, so that didn't hurt a lot. Let's go. Dang it. Texas. Yeah, Texas 2-1. Freaking boring.
What did Smitty say?
Smitty is 2-1 at Texas.
Texas. All right. Well, we're
guess I'll make it up next week.
Have you seen the slate next week? I love it.
What do we have different queue?
Vols game. The Florida. No, the Vols. That was it.
I can literally make up 2 points.
You got to sack up. Pathcoat. All right, guys. Thanks for tuning in. Go cash some tickets this weekend, and we'll be back next week as the road to Omaha shows continue. We'll see you next week.